It's Thursday, November 15th, and the Packers head up to the Great Northwest to take on the Seattle Seahawks, a place where they've had some demons. We'll see if they can exercise those demons and improve their playoff chances. The Bucs are coming off a 2-2 West Coast road trip, and they look to build on that with a six-game homestand heading around the Thanksgiving holiday. And the Milwaukee Brewers are getting snubbed left and right for awards. Are you worried about Christian Yelich's MVP chances? We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tapping the Keg Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at MitchRossMKE and at SnowTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Welcome back to tonight's edition of the Tapping the Keg Podcast, episode 313. How's everybody doing?
Charlie, we're with you.
Mitch on the ones and twos. I thought about busting out a little 8 Mile there. Everyone in the 313.
And bed music was a little loud underneath my intro, so I apologize to our listeners for that.
Oh, look at Mitch giving a little apology.
I mean, nobody would notice except for me, but...
Exactly. That's the stuff he beats himself up over, folks.
Exactly. So,
we got a good show today. We're chatting about Packers-Seahawks preview. Mitch said it in the intro, so I don't really need to re-intro it, but doing well. We'll talk a little life of Charlie and Mitch before the podcast, or before we get going, because... both have stories, which I always love stories. But Mitch, how you doing, bub?
Pretty good. Pretty good. All things are...
last full week.
A little more adjusted to the...
last full week. We
to
got
the sudden January weather.
You bet. Last full week. We got Thanksgiving coming up next week. Carving turkeys. Playing some football. Hopefully I don't tear my ACL. That's usually always the hope in those things. We had a random draft, I guess, was what I was told. And this dovetails into my story because I ran into some friends at Who's on Third. No free sponsors, but Who's if you want to slide in. So I met some friends and they said, oh, this is your team and everything like that. But our boy Shea Ken has only like won one turkey bowl out of like 7 or 8. And he's on my team. It's kind of like a kiss of
struggling,
death.
Struggling, huh?
Yeah, it's like you'd get the lower third graphic of Shea Ken has... he's only won one turkey bowl. But anyways, here and are there. So I'm chatting with these guys, and it's like 11:30. My other friends who I came with had left. And they're like, I'm like, where are you guys going next? Like, oh, we're gonna go to Pato. You want to come? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Because the lady was in Madison. I was like, yeah, let's do it. You know, let's fill the vice. I haven't gambled in a while. At least not on cards. And
not
so,
in physical form.
Yeah. And so I go there. And we're on a $15 table. We're in the smokers, whatever.
Ooh.
And yeah.
15, doing it a little big.
Well, I mean, that's like minimum in Vegas. At Pato, it's that.
There's $5 tables.
Yeah, but they're always full. And all the $10 tables were pretty full. So you.
All the riffraffs.
Exactly. That was packed.
Sure.
But. By the grace of God, we got a full table to ourselves, and it was probably, I don't know, we had maybe 5 guys with us. Yeah, 5 guys.
Okay.
So we had but there was an open spot. So, and we're rolling. Like, I'm playing real well. Like, started out hot, like, felt good, was, like, up. And then all of a sudden, this guy in sweatpants and a backwards hat comes and sits down right in the middle.
Not now, Chief. I'm in
and
the fucking zone.
Here's the thing. I would not have been mad at this motherfucker. I really won enough if he would have just played normal ass blackjack. If he didn't play like an asshole. But he did just an absolutely outrageous move, Mitch, that I have not seen at a blackjack table. And I'm not like well versed, but I've played enough blackjack. This motherfucker was playing 2 goddamn hands next to me. So meaning that I basically saw what my potential hand could have been multiple times, yet this guy had the gall to play 2 hands at a time and completely ruined the flow that we were having. Like, we were all just joking around.
Do you think they, like, if that's in Vegas, they just drag him out of there?
I don't know if you, yeah, I don't know. Someone who knows
like
more,
in the movies, like Casino, they'd probably do that.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think can play 2 hands.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
There was space to play it, and he asked if he could play the second hand. And feel free to hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, whatever, StoneTapWI, if you can do this in Vegas. But, like, there was room for him to play on both of them, and the dealer let him. So maybe should I be more mad at the dealer that he let him play it? Should I have said something and been like, no, we play 1 hand? But I wouldn't do that because I don't want to start an incident at Pato.
Right.
So.
Can't have that. Yeah, you know, you're probably asking the wrong guy, but and, I don't think that doesn't, I'm obviously it's not illegal.
No.
But, or it's not against the rules, whatever you want to call it, but you know, it does. There's I'm sure there's a book full of unwritten rules, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that felt like an unwritten rule. Right. That felt like play the game the right way, bud. Like
exactly.
You are entering a table. Like the person you should have asked was not the dealer. You should have asked the table. Hey, is it okay if I play two hands? And I would have said, no, you're going to fuck up. You're fucking up my rotation here.
You play to win the game.
I'm playing well. I'm not fucking, you know, struggling here.
Right.
I don't need a boost. And yeah, so fuck that guy. And then maybe I'm more mad.
And then you tailspun.
My clock got cleaned. I got Steve Atwatered out there. Like just absolutely drilled. So... There I go, coming home, having to take a shower because my girlfriend had just changed the sheets. I reek of smoke.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, all right, I got to take a shower before I go into bed.
Just a depressing place, that Potawatomi.
Yeah, and then I fell asleep and couldn't even eat my leftover onesies at night.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, it is what it is.
It happens. But then, so that was my life story. You go viral, locally viral, yesterday, and everybody takes you fucking seriously.
I know.
So inform the masses.
Well, so I tweeted out. It was actually in the middle of the second half. I sent out this Mount Rushmore
of the Wisconsin
athletes. Aaron Rodgers. I've made this joke on the radio too. I mean, but nobody listens. But so it's Aaron Rodgers, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Christian Yelich, and Brad Davison. That is your Mount. And for those of you who don't know, Brad Davison is. I know it's hard to discern here, but he's another. Another in a long line of 6'2" white guys that play the two guard for the Badgers.
As the One Shining podcast calls him, Buzzcut Brad.
Yeah, Buzzcut Brad. He actually ends up hitting the dagger. I catch a retweet from the station account, and it blows up. I think we're at 220 likes or something like that.
Oh, wow, look at you.
Yeah, on that tweet. So the part that Charlie is referring to, yeah, like one of the first replies is obviously... Some hardo saying, you know, no, I'm trying to find it. I don't remember one of the first ones right here. Today, maybe all time. I don't think so. Star Yount Kareem. First of all, there's four guys.
You should have sent him the gif like that's the joke.
Yeah.
Like you should have just, you know, hit
like
him.
Like the with the arrow going over his head or whatever.
Exactly.
And you have this other clown saying like naming off four people from Wisconsin that are all dead, you know, basically a couple Olympians. It's like, I've never heard of one of these guys except for Mark Johnson.
Oh, it's yeah. Hockey player.
Right. And he's actually from Minnesota apparently.
Right. He is.
Somebody corrected him down the line.
Oh, lovely. God,
a lot of good ones, but a lot of them just taking me seriously. And then like, it's one of those where it's like, it's just a fucking joke. Like I'm not looking for a discussion on like Mount Rushmore.
Exactly. And if you want to roll out like,
so you get there's just a lot of Wally Waukesha's in here.
I was just about to say, you want to know where we came up with the term Packer Pinhead, and look no further than that tweet because
there's a lot of stuff on here that I would take as a joke as well, like the Janice stuff and no Raji or J.K. Scott. I reply to that one. J.K. is in the convo.
Well, that's good. At least some people understood it and were having
Lord
fun.
Lord Seitz, former SnowTap contributor, said Dick Trickle, and I like that one.
Dick Trickle, a legend.
Eric Keck tweeted at me saying, you forgot Greg Steemsma, and I like that one as well.
The Steamer.
The Steamer.
Fun story. My buddy Doe's met the Steamer in Mifflin a few years when he was in college, and Steetsma, Doze denies this now because I've told it a few times, but he told me that Brian Bush was a bitch, and that was all I really needed
the
in
polar
my life,
bear.
That they weren't really that close of friends. Now, Doze has denied this later in life, but you can't go back on what you said. I didn't forget that.
Robert
always hated Brian Bush.
Robert W. at Umpire Robert, Favre, Rogers, Kareem, Yount, Star. Again, four people are on Mount
how
Rushmore.
How do people not know how Mount Rushmore fucking works?
I don't know.
Anyways, that's great, though. I'm glad. I'm happy for you. I'm happy you got to deal with pinheads. I would have engaged a lot more.
It obviously
you held
has,
restraint
because
you are kind of a public persona.
Well, I just, you know, again, it's just a joke. I'm not trying to argue back and forth with people or anything about that. So
Yeah, I would have loved to see our boy Bart have fun with that one. He would have just he would.
Yeah, I was a little worried they would have like a topic or something about it. Like, yeah, I don't know if you saw, but overnight, one of our producers had a tweet about putting Brad Davison on the Mount Rushmore. Would you put him on there? Who is your Mount Rushmore? It's pretty slow, but not that slow.
Yeah, it's been a slow week for sure, no question. Good thing there's been some stuff happening, and that's why
it's been a lot of NBA drama.
We'll get to some of that in our NBA portion, but it's why we talk life, and now we'll refocus and reshape it. We got the Packers Seahawks tonight, big matchup. Some people are saying this is the first playoff game of the year. Packers right now are seventh in the playoff standings.
That's real spicy.
Seahawks are 10th. I'm just saying what people are saying. If you listened to Daily Tap yesterday, I talked about who's the bigger fraud, Seattle or Green Bay, because both have fraudulent tendencies. But it's an interesting matchup, to say the least. I myself am not worried about the old demons. You mentioned that in the intro, because this is just a different Seahawks team. Different coordinator, a lot of different players. Really, the only things that are similar are Doug Baldwin, Russell Wilson, and a few other notable guys.
A lot of different Packers.
That definitely true, too. I mean, that's true, too. I just think it's the last time the Packers and Seahawks played, Ty Montgomery and Jordy Nelson had the two touchdowns. I mean, but I think the bigger – who do you think more pressure is on in this game? Is it Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson?
Always Aaron Rodgers, probably.
Always Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Always Aaron Rodgers.
Even though that Russell Wilson has shit his pants routinely against the Packers throughout the last few times they've played, Russell Wilson has not been great, mm-hmm. nor has he really been great this season. He did play well against Los Angeles last week.
Yeah. Well, I suppose nationally, Seattle could be.
I mean, I don't.
If you like that angle,
I think there'll be a lot of like, can Seattle recapture? I think they're both gonna. It's gonna be the whole who's gonna recapture their glory. Like Seattle's been at the knocked on the door against the Chargers and the Rams in the last 2 weeks. Are they gonna be beat up? Is this sort of a body blow theory that they've taken a lot of hits and too many close? Sometimes when you play a bunch of close games right in a row, you get your ass kicked because you're just sort of like, oh, here we go again, and you just can't necessarily right the ship. Now you could argue with the Packers, the odds are against them. I think there was a stat that teams are 0-13 when traveling two time zones, you know, on a Thursday night. Now, I think
since there's an NFL football started.
I think the Packers tried to mitigate that with getting out there on Tuesday, so they've been out there for a couple days. They're trying to get everybody ready to go. I think the Packers are trying as much new shit as possible on the road because they haven't won a game yet on the road, and it seems like always something happens. They were flat in New England, flat in Washington. Those aren't really excuses. They were Mason Crosby field goals away from winning that Lions game, and they were – you never know with the Los Angeles game. It's too unpredictable for us to make a determination on what would have happened there. So – yeah, I think there is a lot of pressure on both sides, and this is definitely, even if you don't think either team is playoff bound, which whomever wins will have a significant advantage in the playoff race.
I still think Green Bay will sneak in there.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they always do. So,
well, I think part of it, the NFC is jammed. I mean, no question about right. it. I think really,
I'm looking at the standings right now.
I think we'll really have a true understanding of where the Packers sit after Thursday's game from a win-loss perspective. But then whatever happens in the Vikings-Bears game Sunday night, which will be awesome. I think that'll be a really good game. But if the Bears lose, all of a sudden the door is wide open, whether the Packers have win or lose tomorrow's game or tonight's game, excuse me.
And then, you know, Carolina, I don't know how much we trust them. I've ridden them this year in picks.
I think you still trust. Carolina has to play the Saints two more times.
The Carolina is such the kings of whenever you trust them, they let you down.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Well, right.
Whenever you've written them off, they win three in a row or something and, you know, sneak in the playoffs or sneak in to win the division at 9-7 or something.
I feel like this week, especially in the week following, are huge for NFL just in terms of telling us. I mean, granted, then we're in December,
but you really have a lot of games where there are some teams, like you have the Redskins Texans this week, you have the Colts Titans, you have a few other matchups. You have Falcons Saints on Thanksgiving night. That's an awesome game. Cowboys Redskins on Thanksgiving. That too is a game that'll tell us a lot. Cowboys Falcons this weekend. That again, another sort of pseudo playoff game. So I think it's going to get clearer and clearer, but it starts right now with the Packers and Seahawks. And you know, is it going to come down to who can run the ball better? Because the Seahawks have been running the ball well. The Packers, on paper, have stopped the run well. But if you watch games and you're just seeing it from eye to eye, they have allowed a lot on the ground. So whether it's Chris Carson, who's apparently going to be back from injury, he's been battling a hip and a knee, or Rashad Penny, you know, it's going to be the difference in this game? Or will Aaron Jones continue to have this sort of renaissance, if you will? Melvin Gordon tore them up 2 weeks ago. Todd Gurley did all right against the Seahawks last week. Again, from that body blow perspective, your defense, your front seven has dealt with two of the top three, maybe top five for sure, best running backs in the NFL.
Yeah. And it'd be a chance for Aaron Jones to kind of put himself in the conversation. You know, I mean, I know it's been a couple games, but he's shown, you know, just looking at yards per carry,
it's amazing.
He's effective, and it's just a matter of giving him the adequate touches.
Right, and I've been longstanding that in the last couple of weeks that he just needs to be the focal point of this offense, that Aaron Rodgers needs to take a back seat, and he needs to carry the ball 12 to 25 times. I brought it up on the podcast, I think Monday, is that they need to apply like a lot of what the Saints do. Oh, Murph calling us as the podcast tapes. Should we answer?
Sure.
Hey, what's up, bud?
What's up?
I'm actually taping and tabbing the keg with Mitch right now. Do you have a quick Packer Seahawks prediction?
Do I have a quick what?
Packer Seahawks prediction. Do you have a pick?
Yeah, 37 Packers win on the road.
Okay. All right, sounds good.
30-7?
30-7, did you say?
30-7, yeah.
Oh. Love it. All right, baby. I'll talk to you in like a half an hour when I get done, okay?
All right. I just was calling. I saw a fucking Range Rover on the highway.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Later.
Excellent radio there.
It's just unbelievable. You can cut that if you want. But yeah, so the Packers really, I think, the Aaron Jones, they need to apply that Saints for what the Saints do, where Alvin Kamara is the focal point of the offense, and then they use Drew Brees around him. And there's no secret that Drew Brees is thriving in that way.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Aaron Rodgers wants to do that. I don't know how it's going to
work. Brees has got to be having one of his better years.
He is. He's probably the MVP right now. I mean, he or Todd Gurley, pick your poison. It's one of the two. Both guys are MVP-esque.
It's like Yelich and Baez.
Maybe. We'll talk about that later. So you have that. You also have the fact that, you know, Aaron Rodgers hasn't been right this whole year. It's becoming more and more of a talking point. It's developed. We kind of started it 3 weeks ago, but I think everyone else has caught on. And so is this the game where Aaron Rodgers just comes up and shuts up the haters? I don't know. Seattle's been really good against the pass this year. They've been a top 15 team against the pass. So will that continue? And then does that become a national storyline? Is that what the national media is talking about on Friday?
Well, it could be.
But you have another primetime game the following week against Minnesota, so you could argue the last thing Vikings fans and Vikings would want is a pissed off Aaron Rodgers coming to US Bank Stadium.
Yeah. No, Aaron Rodgers,
especially with that whole injury and everything else that already is there from a pissed off standpoint.
He needs to be perfect. I mean, you know, essentially. I mean,
do you think he needs to be
not
that
perfect? But like,
I think that's a little strange. He needed to be perfect last year with the bad defense. I don't think this defense is bad. I've long stood that they're just young, and so they make some mental errors.
Right.
And part of them giving up yards and giving up big plays is just due to their youth. It's not necessarily due to the lack of talent.
Well, either way, the team is dependent on Aaron Rodgers.
Well, yeah, I mean, no question about it.
I don't understand. You know, we're nine games in and they're 5-4-4. You know, he's just been, they go as he goes. And he's been kind of, you know, pedestrian, I guess. You know, he only has, what, one interception all year?
Right. And
but
it was,
17-1 is his TD interception, which is pretty good. But
it's good, but you're right. And there's been some point made. I think I heard Mike Clemens say, like, the attitude in the locker room, everybody sort of just seems kind of downtrodden and everything like that. And because Rodgers isn't playing at, it starts with 12, and that's the head of the snake. And it's like, I get that. But at the same time, he can turn it on at any point. And I go back to what I've said time and again now. He did not practice with this team for like 2 months. And he is just not that type of quarterback that cannot practice, especially with a bunch of young guys at receiver. If Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams were your three wide receivers right now, take away Cobb's injury, there is I guarantee you Rodgers would have more yards per game. I guarantee you his quarterback rating would be better because he just knows those guys. He understands their tendencies.
Yeah.
And Trevor Davis talked about it with Bill Michaels, and he said it's really hard to sometimes know the little things that Aaron Rodgers does. And those little things are what you get in practice. It's not in a game. It's not in a game. And so I think that's part of the problem.
For sure. And you can tell these guys, these young guys, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, EQ, Equanimeous St. Brown, they're getting better.
Oh yeah,
and they know where to be, and they're learning to know where to be, and they are turning into playmakers.
Right,
and especially MVS.
Well, MVS has been a stud, and I think you really got to look at in terms of that sort of thing. And yeah, can they get it done? And I don't know why people are so hyped on the Seahawks. I don't know why everyone thinks the Packers are going to lose this game. I mean,
because it's in Seattle on a short week.
But why is that such a big deal? Like, why is it such a big deal? The Packers were at home.
Because everybody thinks their coach stinks?
They were at home. All right, fine. Well, let's deconstruct the first thing, and then you can give me the next reason and the next reason, and I can shoot you down time and again and time and again.
Keep it coming.
No, because I really don't think Seattle's that good. I don't know if the Packers are that good either, but you know me. I've picked the Packers to lose multiple times this year. I have a general feeling that the Packers win this game by 10. I don't even think it's going to be close because I just do not see it with Seattle this year. I know that they've been better, but they're opportunistic. They've had crazy fumble luck this year, which is the negative of what the Packers have had. They've got it, you know, that's been positive. That usually comes back to the mean. You say that the whole short week thing, okay, they mitigated some of that by going straight out to Seattle. I've seen teams playing better and better on Thursday night. I feel like players have adapted to the Thursday night. I also think you had a game against Miami where I wouldn't say you were on easy street, but it wasn't as physical of a game as, say, playing Los Angeles 4 days ago or playing San Diego or Los Angeles 2 weeks prior. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. And, okay, Kentrell Bryce isn't in. Okay, I kind of loved what I saw from Raven Green.
Yeah.
I think Raven Green looked really good. There's something about that number 36 number when you're playing safety.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to be Leroy Butler or Nick Collins. I'm just saying there's something what happens when you wear that number when you're playing for the Packers. And Nick Perry not being in the game, I'm heartbroken. Like, not to be negative about injuries and be like, oh, I'm glad he's hurt. I'm not glad that Nick Perry's hurt.
What's his name? Eric Winston will come after you.
Right, exactly. But it's not a bad thing to have Nick Perry gone. He's been a ghost. He hasn't done jack shit this year. And then Randall Cobb being hurt, I mean, fine, whatever. And there is
he
that.
He hasn't played in Christ. I don't even know how long.
It's clear to see that he is a problem child. Not a problem child, but you clearly see that he knows his time's done. He had that comment. It's just different this year.
Do you think he's just trying to stay healthy for next year? Or like,
no,
is it something?
No, not that.
We're not going that tinfoil hat?
No. But I do think his comments of being sort of the sad sack is because he knows that he's not a leader anymore. He knows that Devontae Adams has taken control of this locker room in terms of the wide receiver group, and that Equanimous St. Brown and Valdez-Scantling are looking up to him and not Randall Cobb. And Randall Cobb just knows he's sort of the odd man out. He's just the old veteran. And he even though he's a young guy, well, he just doesn't have that many friends, I guess.
He just could be. He just you know, he's not that old, really. He's right. What, 27?
Yeah, but
he seems old though, and he's had, you know, he's got some tread on those tires.
It's kind of like, you know, how sometimes those speedsters in baseball, how they sometimes just lose it, like, and they just aren't the same guy because they lose some of their speed. Randall Cobb's lost his speed. He either is too heavy and he has too much weight on his body, or his body has worn down on him and it's worn down really quick.
Yeah. It's probably more just probably wearing down.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
He doesn't look.
No.
He's probably has naturally put some muscle on and you know, just working out with the NFL, not coming in at 21 years old or whatever it was. Yeah. So just kind of filling out a little bit. He's got a little more on his frame, but yeah, it's kind of sad.
So Bryce Perry and
Kevin King.
Oh, Kevin King, yeah. Kevin King's, that stinks. But I mean,
Jair's been
real money. Yeah. Breland, who's, I guess, questionable, but I'm sure he'll play.
Has he been playing more safety?
Breland's been playing more corner, especially with King being hurt. He had some moments. I mean, he had the nice pick. He also had a penalty. People were ragging on him. That was classic Bennett. Like, getting all mad at a guy for having one fucking penalty. It's like, Jesus Christ. who is the guy? We had Ladarius Gunter playing against Julio Jones. I mean, come on.
And they made the NFC Championship game.
That's unbelievable. So you all said the coach thinks. I agree that I'm not a big McCarthy fan at this point, and I'm sure he'll do something that'll drive me crazy. But I do like.
Was he better against the Dolphins, or was he just not playing a good team and people weren't as fired up? Or just
I think
the whole him giving the ball to Aaron Jones so much really bought him a little bit of equity.
It definitely bought him some cachet
compared
to
the New England game and everything like that. So
yeah, I think it'll go as the game goes. I think McCarthy is that guy right now. He is of the Jason Kidd ilk, where if everything's going well, no one's going to say shit. But if Packers lose by 10 and look flat, he's going to get blamed. He'll be like, well, what the fuck were they doing in Seattle?
Yeah.
So I said I like him by 10. I'll go 27-17. I think it actually is a very good game for the Packers, and I think we're all going to feel good, as I said last week, and I think it's going to continue.
I just think it's tough going out to Seattle on a Thursday night football.
Sure.
A couple of, you know, so they go right into the game. Now, granted, I do like the body blows theory, and I think the Packers got a little bit of a break, as you mentioned, but I think I'm going to go with Seattle in this one. Just tough going up there.
Sure.
12th man. Give me 27-24.
Okay. So they cover barely. Seahawks
cover barely. I can see that.
2.5-point favorite.
I can see a backdoor.
A little late field goal to break my heart. That would be very apropos for a Green Bay at Seattle game.
Yeah. It's been a tough place to play for Green Bay, I mean, over the years.
It has been.
And I know it's not the same Seahawks team.
Right, but I feel like, and it would be a huge confidence booster if this team could win in Seattle, and then
it'd be a huge win. I mean, they'd be 5-4.
Yes.
Minnesota's on bye?
No, Minnesota plays the Bears against the Bears on Sunday.
Oh, they were on bye, right?
Yes. So Minnesota, they'd be tied with Minnesota at that point. And if Minnesota were to lose, all the pressure then goes on Minnesota.
Yep.
Because if Minnesota loses, then they have to play Green Bay. And then after Green Bay, they have to play the Patriots and they have to play the Seahawks. So they are not out of the woods by any means.
Right.
I didn't really understand why Bill Barnwell thought that. He wrote a column about the NFC playoff picture and he said the Vikings were more of the safe teams. I'm like, they have one of the top five toughest schedules down the stretch. Like, they are in real trouble, and nothing from Kirk Cousins has made me think, okay, this is going to be a good thing.
Yeah, again, he's been inconsistent.
It's just a massive game on Sunday night. It should be a lot of fun. Bear weather for sure. I'm sure it'll be chilly in Chicago on the 720 right on the lake.
And Mitchell has been tremendous.
Mitchell's been really good, but I also ask you, who have the Bears fucking played? Bills, the Jets, the Lions.
Buccaneers.
Yes, they played the Patriots, but they could not stop the Patriots offense to save their soul. Mitch played well in that game, though. Yes, Mitchell, do not call me Mitch. Mm-hmm. You should go by that. All right, moving on to the Bucs. So
we did this podcast last week. I think it was the night they lost to the Blazers. Yeah, we did it Tuesday night. And you and I were here and said, well, they get 2-2. We expected them to beat Portland, and we expected them to beat the Clippers. And then they lose to both those teams, and they beat Golden State and Denver. So even though this is not a That's So Bucks team, that was definitely a That's So Bucks move.
A little bit, yeah. And I think the final score of the Portland game, I think the game was closer than that.
Yeah, they pulled away late.
And CJ McCollum was just on fucking fire.
Oh, that game was an anomaly. I mean, they made so many mid-range jumpers that made your head spin. It was like not everything was falling for Portland.
Yeah, everything was falling. El-Farouq Aminu was hitting threes. And again, the final score wasn't that bad. So then you go to Golden State. You're thinking, well, we're probably going to lose by 25. And they end up winning by 25. They played probably the best game I've ever seen them play.
They were out of their mind, especially in the third quarter. I mean, the second quarter was like the start, but then they kind of just pushed the avalanche down. They pushed the rock downhill, and they just kept running with it.
They just stepped on the throat pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
And made Steph Curry quit.
And they've been really good at stepping on the throat. That's been something the Bucks have excelled at this year, is just stepping on the throats of teams where they get up 15 points and they don't let you breathe.
Right. Yeah, well, you just keep hitting threes, and that Toronto game, you saw that, where it was just they're hitting everything, and Golden State.
I think you also, in that game, you found that Pat Connaughton was a legit 20 minutes a game guy.
Yeah.
We like Planet Pat. Planet Pat is a friend of Snowtap WI, even though he doesn't know it. But it was like, Terry Stotts even said it. Like, yeah, we got to worry about stopping Pat Connaughton. I think he was joking because he coached Pat. But it's serious. Like, he just does. They have so many guys on their team. The thing that's refreshing to watch this team, Mitch, is they do so many guys that just do the little things.
Yeah.
That just do the little things.
Well,
Connaughton, Ersan,
And they can overcome not having Giannis or him playing like shit, which, I listened to Simmons the other night.
Yeah.
And he was, Giannis is the MVP.
Yeah, yeah.
Best player by far.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like we sit here, and maybe I'm too close to it, but it's like you kind of watch him, and it's just like, and maybe that's just my personality, but it's like you look at it, 6 turnovers, 0 for 5 from the free throw line, 5 for 11 from the free throw line. He has 4 turnovers tonight or something in the first quarter and a half.
It's a little bit of scoreboard watching where you just see the number at the end of it.
Absolutely. Of course his impact is unreal.
Right.
But,
No.
He obviously, and that's the thing, is he can be better.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's scary.
Well, right, it is. And I don't think we've seen...
For other teams.
I don't think we've seen A-plus Giannis yet.
Mm-mm.
If you're like, and part of it, I think, is he's just getting acclimated to Bud's system. And I think he knows he can do so many things, but he also wants to be respectful of Bud's system. So he's trying to do what he's been instructed. And I think that leads to those turnovers. It leads to sort of that out-of-control nature.
Yeah, and again, it's going to be probably an ongoing thing where he's the one who probably has to adjust the most to the system.
Absolutely.
Having everyone play off of him, you're trying to do more than just ISO.
Right, exactly. Not just roll out the ball and say, okay, create and make something happen.
Yeah, where he's unstoppable 9 times out of 10.
Right.
Because he can just reach around people and jump over them and stuff like that. So, it's going to be, a learning curve.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. And I think the Bucks really showed they hate losing. I think that I know that you're like, well, every team hates losing. Sure. But
what do you do to go out and stop it?
Exactly. Exactly. And then you hear their comments afterwards, basically how offended they were that they lost this game. Like, how dare we lose to the Clippers, or how dare we lose to the Blazers? Like, that's not who we are. And I think they may be losing right now to the Grizzlies, which
I believe they took the lead right before half.
Oh, great. Fantastic. But it's going to probably go down the wire.
But it's a grit and grind game.
Of course, because every game with the
Grizzlies... It was like 48 to 45.
Every game with the Grizzlies is like chewing through glass.
How do they do that?
It's the culture, man. I don't know. I think it's just the guys you have. It's Mike Conley.
I mean, they just play like really effortful defense and like just... Yeah. Shut the other team down.
Exactly.
I think it all starts
with Mike Conley and Marc Gasol. And I think because you have that at the front and the back,
you definitely know that those are the two guys who are the stalwarts.
Yeah.
And when you don't have one of those guys, when one of those guys is injured or both are injured, you don't have the same sort of Memphis team. No,
yeah.
They are a pain in the ass to deal with, and they are 7-5 for a reason.
Well, and I thought of this too. I wonder if Jaren Jackson's kind of a rough matchup for Giannis.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's another one of these tall guys that's probably a center.
Yeah. Yeah, but Jaren Jackson is a little difficult for Giannis. I mean, that's a 6'10 guy with a pretty good wingspan. And yeah, no, they definitely have a good team. But yeah, the Bucks now on a 6-game homestand. The nice thing about the you know, even when we were going into that Denver game, we were like, oh fuck, you know, they lose, and you're like, ah, it could be 1-3. But then you look at their schedule, and you're like, okay, the next 8 of 10 are at home.
Yeah,
and your only two road games are Charlotte and the Knicks. So even if you do lose to Denver, which a lot of us thought, I think everyone thought they were going to lose to Denver, you could come back home and take care of business and you win 8 of your next 10. And, oh, by the way, those two road games are Charlotte and the Knicks. And
right.
So it's no big deal.
I mean, they could build up to, I don't know.
Yeah, it could get
15,
it
16
could get
wins.
It could be a wild and woolly here.
They could go, what do you say, 8 out of 10 were at home?
Yeah.
If you win 8 out of 10,
that's
do the math. 18-5.
Wow. That seems out of this world.
And again, there's no reason to think they can't do that.
No, and you're not playing good opponents. I mean, I think there are a couple sprinkled in.
Well,
but...
and they're 10-3 as we record this podcast, Wednesday night pending, and they've played the toughest schedule.
Yeah.
I believe in terms of strength of schedule,
yeah.
Which much factor,
and that's,
factor in records.
And that's incredible. I mean, just think about that. I think not enough fans are recognizing that. I know that people are all like feeling great about this team, but the fact that they've played the hardest schedule, the fact they get to play the Bulls the next 2 weeks, Jabari Parker back on Friday, which we could talk about in a second here, but it's, yeah, the vibes right now are as good as they've ever been for the Bucks, and I think a lot of that's due to Bud's system and just having he knew the right pieces. We talked about that last week.
Splash Mountain.
Splash Mountain, great nickname. You got White Dante too. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, I saw that a little bit.
So, do you know
I like DD VIP.
Okay, that's cool too. Do you know that? Do you know who started the White Dante thing?
I do not.
It was Bomani Jones.
Really?
Yeah. There's an article in
so
the Journal
Black Dante?
Sentinel. Well, how he explains it is, Jones broke it down as usually he's like, I saw this guy playing, and usually the author of the Inferno has an A in his name. And usually an O in your name is one of a African-American or black descent, I think he said. And then he said,
really?
He's like, and the way he plays is more what we see out of a black guy. And so then he started calling him the White Dante.
White Dante.
And he's like, I saw the crooked hat.
Did he start in college?
Yeah. At Villanova, last year at Villanova. He's like, I saw the crooked hat. I saw just the way he was dancing with his teammates. And I was like, oh, he gets down. Like, that's White Dante.
He does.
And then Dante's like, yeah, it's all in good fun. I hope to see him when we go to New York and stuff like that, because he does his show with Pablo Torre. He's like, yeah, that's exactly why White Dante gets down. And
White,
so
White Dante.
I don't know if I'll use that one often, but, you know, I like Big Ragu.
Yeah, that's a little toe in the line.
Yeah, it's a little weird. It's a little weird if no one knows what's happening. It's
right.
It's like, oh, yeah.
Well, of course he's white.
Yeah, all right. It's like, it's kind of just having your penis out randomly, and it's like, oh, your dick's out. Okay. All right. Well, that's okay. We'll talk about that. But, yeah, so Jabari's back on Friday. Do you expect
the
booze?
One half of the Tapping the Keg podcast will be in attendance.
Oh, are you going, Michael?
I am.
Okay. You decided to pony up the cash.
No.
It was expensive.
Got to go at some point.
I know, but it's going to do it. If I would have known you were going as well, I may have joined. Someone should have looped me in on that.
Who knows? It doesn't have to be in stone at the moment.
Nah.
You could possibly come along.
Nah, I shouldn't. But regardless, good for you to be in there. I decided to watch it from home. 8:30 start time. Do you think that there will be boos? Do you think there will be cheers? What do you think the fan reaction will be?
I tried to think of that today. It's very hard to figure out, right?
Yeah.
I think it's one of those where he didn't leave on bad terms. He didn't bash the city, did he?
No.
No, I mean, he didn't do anything wrong when he left.
Right.
Just, I think people were more pissed at the Bucks organization than anything.
Right.
So, I bet you it's cheers.
I'm going to disagree with you, and I'll tell you why. I think it's going to be boos, and I think the reason that it's boos is because it's an 8:30 Friday at night start. And yeah. I think people are going to be very much in their cups.
A drunk mind speaks a sober
heart.
I think
it is going to be a drunk crowd. It's weekend before Thanksgiving, so we all have short weeks coming up. Everybody's like, all right, it's kind of holiday season now.
Yep.
And get a little loose and liquored up, and then you'll have Bucks Twitter being like, why are they booing? Oh, fans have no idea what the fuck's happening. And so it's like, yeah. Not every common fan is as smart as everyone on Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry.
I didn't think about the rowdiness of the 8:30 tip.
Oh, yeah.
That's a very interesting hypothesis. It's possible. I still think there's probably no way there's no reaction.
No, there has to be some.
It's going to be mixed.
It might be a smattering. It's going to be mixed. I think you're also going to have Bulls fans in the building, so you'll have some cheers. Be interesting to see, and you can tell us next week if we do a podcast with our holidays, but if it's going to be 75-25 Bucks fans or if it'll still lean like a 60-40 crowd. Because granted, this Bulls team is not very excited. The tank is in motion. Mostly the tank's in motion because they've had injuries. I don't think the Bulls wanted to tank this year. But when you have Lauri Markkanen out for 9 to 11 weeks now with his elbow injury, he's still not shooting, which is low-key kind of bad news. And Chris Dunn is now out for 4 to 6. You just don't have
the firepower.
You don't have the guys. I mean, Zach LaVine, I don't think, has been under 20 points this season, which is very impressive. And Wendell Carter's been a revelation early on. Just so they don't get fucking Zion Williamson, I'm pretty good.
Yeah. Well, the Cavs got that unlocked, so... They're getting blown out again tonight, I think.
Are they by the Wiz?
Yep.
The Wizards were 12-point favorites, and I was like, I cannot bet the Wizards at 12 points.
I just
can't. You can't do it.
That's the blind leading the blind.
Exactly. Like, I can't, but you can't bet the Wizards at 12, can you? No.
No.
Absolutely not.
Well, I mean, what's their overall margin? They got to be.
They're 4-9. They've
gotten beat by 30 points how many times?
Yeah, no, it's bad. Yeah, they're not good. Speaking of not good, I know we stay local usually here, but the Warriors, not great right now.
It feels like Kevin Durant wants to leave, that they're going to go on a losing streak. And
I was almost going to have the segment just out of the blue, like, did the Bucks break the Warriors? Because maybe they did. It was really interesting. I actually turned off that game, the Warriors-Clippers, because it was like a 9-point game with, like, I don't know. This is just proof to never turn off the NBA. But I was trying to catch up on an HBO show. Like, forgive me. I wanted to turn off the sports.
It's late, too. It was
late. But I stayed.
It had to be midnight.
You know how I work, baby boy. I stay up late. That's part of the CEO life.
I had that game on, too, and I fell asleep.
Yeah.
And I woke up. I couldn't tell you if the game was going or not. But I just turned my TV off.
I think it might have been highlights
when I woke up or something.
So and then they're just bickering at each other. Apparently, Draymond just kept calling Kevin Durant a bitch. And it's
I think he crossed the line because he mentioned his
free agency. Yeah. He just was like, well, why don't you just leave? Like, basically, like, get the fuck out then.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, leave. Like,
or he pulled a Jimmy Butler and said, you fucking need me.
Maybe. I don't know.
Either way, he's not wrong.
I just think it's crazy how we get rid of it. We rid ourselves of the whole Jimmy Butler story. And then literally.
Oh, it just flows right into it.
Flows right in. It's like, all right, here's the new drama.
It's almost as if the media knows what they're doing.
Then you
have the Carmelo stuff.
Well, the Carmelo stuff's. So I didn't know this.
It's kind of like, who cares, but it's also kind of wild. Because
someone wrote this story, and I can't remember. Part of my TikTok talked about it, so I'll credit them, I guess. But wrote the story about how. Last week when they were in Oklahoma City, right, Carmelo went like 1-for-11. It was just terrible. Yeah. But he was spending more time in his locker room, and like Westbrook poked his head in just to like get James Harden because he wanted to like chop it up with him before they went on the bus, whatever. He didn't acknowledge Melo, didn't say hi to Melo, whatever. Melo then finally gets ready, gets himself out, and Harden and Westbrook and a few other guys are just kind of shooting the shit. And they do not say a word to Melo. They don't, no acknowledgement, no like, come chat with us. Melo just keeps walking. These guys just stay talking. And I felt a little bad for Carmelo Anthony.
He felt that.
Like, you know, the Grinch can even feel bad a little bit. And even though I don't really have much love for Carmelo, it's bad.
It's a weird thing for him.
Yeah, shouts to the Milwaukee media for no one recommending Carmelo to the Bucks. Yeah. I greatly appreciate it.
Sounds like if he does indeed leave the Rockets, which I think everybody thinks he will.
Yeah.
Sixers, which...
Oh, God, please get him to the Sixers.
That's the one I've seen where it's like
I steal,
the whispers.
Yeah, and if Jalen Rose...
You got Butler and Melo.
Oh, God. Oh,
with Embiid's ego.
Oh, my God.
And Simmons, he's a little quieter of a guy, but he's still got an ego. Make no mistake about it.
Can I tell you a secret? Simmons is a bitch. I think he is a catty bitch. Like, I think he is just a cat. Like, you know how some guys are dogs and some guys are cat? Oh, fuck yeah. That's exactly it. He is a millennial-ass motherfucker. Like, that is Ben Simmons.
Yeah, he is.
And
him and Karl Anthony Towns, they play freaking PUBG together.
Exactly.
And they just cry about stuff.
Exactly. They're a bunch of little snowflakes. Jimmy, yeah, and Simmons brought that up. Speaking of Simmons, Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons brought up the fact, like, what if, like, Butler is like, I'm Team Embiid, and we don't want anything to do with Ben Simmons. And they put Ben Simmons on an island. Like, I'm like, give me all of this. Like, give me all the drama that you could possibly have with the Sixers team, because it's not a good thing. So,
and we'll sit here and win games in Milwaukee.
Exactly.
With our small
market. And we'll let people just keep sucking Philly's dick, and we'll just keep doing things.
Yeah.
So, all right, we got to go to the quick baseball. So, Christian Yelich is probably going to win MVP tonight, but there is a little worry in the back of my head.
Because the Brewers have no hardware.
Apparently, no. They can't win an award. They can't win an award to save their soul. It's like, okay, let's give Atlanta...
So you want to get tinfoil hat.
Big time. Yeah, let's do it.
I've heard the theory, and I think there's quite a bit of merit to it, that these old crotchety baseball writers didn't like the way the Brewers did things and are not voting for them.
I didn't hear
especially
this.
Manager.
Tell me more. I haven't heard this.
I've heard it out there that maybe that's the case, that there's a couple of people who left him off the ballot. Or, like, there was one guy who didn't vote at all, like, didn't have him, what is it, 1 through 3 or whatever? Didn't even have him on there.
So that
it's
they're
like, really.
So they're punishing the Brewers.
Yeah.
Could
Council have been punished for having the MVP?
Maybe. And maybe that refutes my argument, which I said on Daily Tap yesterday, which was Atlanta played in a garbage division. Atlanta played in the time flies of the National League.
And, yeah, exactly.
They
trash.
Were,
The trash of the National League.
Right, exactly. And so I was like, why do they get... I mean, yeah, they were a year early for being good, so congrats. But they also have the rookie of the year who's going to be an MVP candidate sooner rather than later.
The Brewers kind of were, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of took the proverbial next step.
The fact that the thing that made Council my manager of the year is he took it by the balls and he won it at the end of the year. And that's why I think Christian Yelich deserves it, because if not for Christian Yelich's late... July to early whole August, the Brewers do not win. The Brewers do not go to they don't win the division.
Well, and look at all the bullpen days and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he worked those pretty well. Shit, even the postseason.
Yeah. And Yelich just kept producing in the second half, and I don't know how you could put Javi Baez ahead of him. And if Javi Baez is ahead of him, I'll tell you what. I said the Daily Tap would only be Packer recap, but I probably have to go on like a full-on rant, and then I'm probably going to just burn everything down.
If Yelich does indeed win MVP, does that you forgive and forget then?
For the Council?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit, I
and
guess.
No gold gloves? I mean...
I guess I forgive it, but I think it's even more weird that the Brewers didn't get something else. That it's if they just
Yelich
got
has
MVP.
A silver slugger.
Yeah, okay. So I'll give you that.
That's like the one I can think of.
Yeah,
that's it.
Exactly. It's
nobody cares about that.
No, that's like getting a hand job. I mean, no one really gives a shit. I hopefully Yelich will get it. And hopefully we are talking next week about either the MVP or we're talking about free agency. I don't know. But the stove has yet to flame up. So
yeah, and Bryce Harper's going to make his decision, I think, on a video game cover.
Is that what they're saying?
I think that's what's going to happen.
Oh, God.
Because he's the cover athlete of the show.
Oh,
and any pictures you see, he's not wearing a uniform.
What's happening to our society?
And I think that's what's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to like...
No, I think you're right.
But I'm pretty sure that They're going to re-release it when he signs.
I fucking
re-release
hate,
the picture.
I just hate everybody. I'm going to be such a Scrooge.
This I think he's using, or the video games and vice versa.
It's to kind of factor in. That's whatever. It's just me just being an old man, just being like, can't you just announce who you're signing with?
It is interesting.
And let John Heyman break the story because he's Scott Boras' lackey. All right. So we'll be back next week. We'll talk big Packer-Vikings game. We'll check in on the Bucks and who knows what else. For Mitch, I'm Charlie. Take care of yourself. Have a good one.
See ya.
Peace.